This is the Home Tech Podcast, show number 43 for September 8th, 2011. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the Average Guy Studios here in sunny and beautiful this week, Bellevue, Nebraska, and posting each week out at theaverageguy.tv. You can contact me and the show. Send us an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jay Collison. And, of course, I post all the guys' Twitter accounts out on the show notes. You should go take a peek at those as well. And you can find us on Facebook just by searching The Average Guy Podcast. We have had a little more movement on Facebook. And if you haven't joined us out there yet, come on out. You can post your comments about the show, your questions. There's kind of a group of guys. There's about 50 of us or so, 46 that are out there. And if you got general tech questions, anything like that, you just want to interact with the show, you can also post it to Facebook. And I am checking that regularly. I want to put in a reminder that we are switching over all the RSS feeds for the Average Guy Network. And so both home tech, fitness tech, financial tech, I guess it's just those three. Rich, your podcast is already taken care of, have been switched over or are being switched over from Podomatic to FeedBurner. So if you know what that means, congratulations. You understand RSS. And if you have put this on iTunes, we have brand new iTunes links for you that will actually take you all the way back to the beginning if you want. You can choose to do that or not. From a podcast standpoint. So I'm going to shut off the RSS feed from Podomatic on October 1st, and everything will switch over to FeedBurner, and you'll stop getting the podcast if you don't make the switch. So sometime between now and the end of the month, join us out at theaverageguy.tv and get those RSS feeds switched over. If you have questions, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. All right, with me tonight, all the regulars, and I'd like to introduce them one by one. First, on my right. Well, it's on my right on my screen. Andrew Morris. Andrew's our friend from the land down under, and he's having new solar panels installed this evening with people screwing behind him.
Andrew, well, depending on how you interpret that, you could go either way. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Good. Good to see you. And why are you having more? You just had the solar panels put on. What's the deal?
Yeah, so end of May, we had a 2.28 kilowatt array put on the roof, and the Victorian government where we live the Australian government actually are changing the rebate amount that you get for solar installations, and we worked out that we still had some left in our allowance, and at the end of this month any additional systems that come onto the grid feed, the tariff drops from 66 cents a kilowatt hour to 25 cents a kilowatt hour.
Wow. So half price.
So we figured the price of power was only going to go up, so it sort of made sense that we'd spend another $7,000 and double the size of the array, which should put us at about 80% of our usage now.
Wow. That's not bad, actually. $7,000 for that. I mean, it used to be a lot more expensive to put those things up, so the prices seem to be coming down a smidge.
Yeah, so the first system was 5.5, so it's an identical system down to, you know, the box. But, yes, look, the price of the certificates that the government buy back has changed. So, you know, given the future proofing we've got for power now, it's not a bad investment, I don't think.
Very cool.
It does ensure now that if we move later down the track, that we'll take it with us now, as opposed to before where we thought we'd leave it on the roof.
Yeah. You would actually pull it down and take it with you, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. $13,000 worth of invested technology on the roof. Yeah. It'll come with us now.
Yeah, that's probably a good call. Well, I'm jealous. We had about $7,000 worth of damage to our roof due to some hail storms that we had a couple weeks ago. And I would really love to get solar panels. I've got a south-facing sloped just right roof for both winter and summer exposure, and there's no shade on it at all any time of the day. And so eventually I am going to fill that thing up with solar panels. But Nebraska has not been a forward-facing state when it comes to solar power, and the rebates and incentives just aren't there yet. So I'll wait for those to come online, and if I can get them half paid for, I figure that'd be a pretty good option. But, you know, I drive a hybrid car, so I'm doing my tree hugging just like you.
Some people would agree.
Yeah. Anyway, so also with us tonight, Christian, we'll move on. Christian Johnson, of course, Christian is the brains behind BiosMods.com. Christian, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic, Jim.
And you're close to school, right? School starts next week?
Tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, so today was like orientation, get your locker, get your schedule.
Oh, okay.
And cool tech of this year was that they finally digitized my New York State loan textbooks, so they're now all ebooks on my netbook.
Nice.
So I don't have to be dragging textbooks home.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right, hold on. Public school? Private school?
Private school.
Private school, and all the textbooks are ebooks?
Yep.
And do they issue you a laptop when you start as a freshman?
No.
Okay.
Right now, I'm just using my own thing.
Everybody have a laptop?
I'd say most of the student population, probably like 60% have their own personal laptop, and probably 30% use them in the classroom.
Okay. Well, I know you do. I've caught you at school on Skype, and you restored the site from school, I think. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
No, I remember that one.
Yeah. Well, Kristen, I'm sorry that you got to start school in earnest tomorrow, but maybe we'll get you on the podcast more regularly when we do that. It'll be good to have you. Also with us this evening, Rich O'Neill. And, of course, Rich is behind Rich's random podcast generator that we do on the weekends, sometimes Saturday, sometimes Sunday. Rich, how are you?
Good, Jim. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing well, and you're sporting an SM58 microphone there. And
I am.
Yeah,
I look. Do you think I look a little bit like maybe Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah, that was Gary's comment, and you have to remember he's the guy that came up with the word phablet.
Phablet, I love that. You know, I had to Google that, and I found out. Well, okay, that he didn't invent it, but he's the one that sprung it on us, and I love that. That was so funny.
Yeah, And of course, a phablet is a between what 5 and 7 inch tablet that.
It's a phone so big it approaches the size of a tablet.
Right.
Yeah.
Went out and actually looked at those. I went to the Sprint store on last Friday, I think, and my wife has a BlackBerry that she really hates. And so we're getting to upgrade that to probably an Android phone at this point, although there's some new phones coming out on Sprint in October, and I think if we wait for those, we might get a better – well, they're always so expensive when they first come out, but – so we were looking, and of course, the Samsung or the Galaxy Tab, is phablet size. The original is a paperback book size, and then they have a 10.1. And I tried that because Gary had mentioned it the night before, and not a bad little form factor at that size. I had not used that. I don't have an Amazon an Amazon Kindle, which is that size. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really tried that form factor after doing. Ooh. Can't mention that. After the other tablet that I have a name that I can't mention,
the tablet that shall go unnamed,
formerly known as the tablet that I cannot mention, because I said we weren't going to talk about it tonight. It
touchpad,
nice size. So I don't
touchpad.
Know. Yeah, yeah. Listen, I've said. Listen, don't get me started. I'll start raging on it. So. All right, guys. Well, welcome tonight. We've got a slate of things to chat about. I do want to start with an email that I got earlier today from my ISP here in Omaha. We have Cox Communications. They compete with CenturyLink, which used to be Quest. Quest Communications. And for internet here, one's DSL, one, of course, is cable, Cox's cable. They sent me an email today that said they have improved their backup. Their backup plans. And I think this is kind of a secret that some of the ISPs are holding on to that they do kind of advertise. They throw it in as a Benny. I think sometimes they put it in their brochures to kind of sell people on the service to begin with. But then once you have the service, they don't talk a lot about it. And that makes sense, right? Use it as a freebie to get people in. They probably will never use it, but people can talk about it. But if you're one of the things I want to encourage people to do is if you haven't checked with your ISP lately to see if they provide some kind of backup for you. Cox does have a little backup client or agent that you can install on your PC, and then it will automatically – you can select some files, and it will automatically back them up, and then anytime those files change, it'll back them up to your ISP as well.
To the cloud.
Yeah, to the cloud. That's right. To their cloud, anyways.
Yay, cloud.
Now, let me – boy, we haven't done those commercials in a while, have we? Yay, cloud. The what do you think – I'm gonna do a little survey here. So how much storage do you think
my ISP gives me. So, Andrew, we'll start with you. The quiz is, how much free storage do you think my ISP will give me?
If it were in Australia, it would be about 150 to 100 meg.
50 to 100 meg. And what about in the U.S.? What do you think? What's your guess? What's your U.S.?
Well, what do Cox do other than be an internet provider?
Cable. Cable, and they have some cell phone as well.
Are they going to have some sort of back-end storage arrays for providing the digital media content?
Okay.
I don't know. They're going to give you somewhere between 1 and 5 gig.
1 and 5 gig. All right. Tim in chat says 1 gig. Christian, what do you think?
5 to 10.
5 to 10. Okay. And Rich, you?
40 meg.
He says 40 meg. We could do this like Price is Right.
He wouldn't be winning any.
I'm lowballing it. I'm lowballing it.
The person who guessed correctly without going over.
Comes close without going over.
Well, actually, they do have a tiered plan. It depends on what service you buy. So the more speed you buy from them, the more their service plan is. So their starter and essential package, they give you up to a gig, which I thought was pretty generous for those starter packages. In their preferred package, they give you 5 gig. So, Christian, that was you're right in there with that. Now, get this, the Premier, which, of course, is what I'm on. Their Premier package, 50 gig.
Oh,
50 gig. 50.
Wow.
50 gig. And I thought that was pretty generous. No?
I'm looking at mine.
Price?
My ISP used to give
price for 50?
Well, it's free with my and I pay $50 for bandwidth. So basically it's $50 or maybe it's $55 and it's 25 down and 5 up.
It's generous, but storage is getting a lot cheaper now, so I think ISPs are starting to open up just a bit.
Yeah, I just thought, hey, if I'm your average consumer and I'm not doing any kind of backup at all and I don't I don't want to go out and buy an external hard drive, or I want to try and get something off site. And we've talked about plenty of ways to do it. From a Windows Home Server to, Carbonite to Voila. The various backup types, cloud storage, so to speak. But your ISP, there might be backup right underneath your nose at your ISP. So, who's looked it up while I was talking about it?
No one.
I did, but they don't offer anything anymore. My ISP is Great Works Internet, GWI, and they used to give you 40 meg for an FTP storage.
Nice.
So you could put your little website up there, if you wanted to or whatever.
Store 10 songs.
Yeah, not much, nothing really.
Maybe MP3s, maybe 10 MP3s. We'll say 9. 40 megs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
and they took it away.
And half a podcast.
And half a pod. A 40-minute podcast here.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's about a meg a minute for what we do. Well, so if you're listening and you haven't checked yet, just go out to your ISP, see if they offer you some kind of free backup. If you're not doing any backup today, not a bad way to get backup done. If you don't back it up, you can't get it back, right? Ooh, that sounds like Carbon. Mm-hmm. I think that's their slogan. Actually.
No, that's Rich's job. Rush Limbaugh's primary sponsor on the air is Carbonite.
Really?
Wow. Really? Okay.
What? You guys have all these people and things I've never heard of.
I know. Andrew, you got to start watching more American TV.
No, you don't.
Yeah, but I watch The Big Bang Theory. That's enough for me.
You're a smart guy. You're a smart guy, Andrew. Don't watch American TV. You'll walk away a lot number for it.
All right.
I don't know. The American TV we watch is enjoyable. So yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
I got wrong again.
I contend that you can learn everything you need to learn about American culture with seasons 4, 5, and 6 of Seinfeld. That'll get you everything you need to know.
That's it, huh?
That's it. It's all there. It's all there.
All right.
All right. Andrew, you got something about Marty McFly. What are we talking about?
Yeah. Going back to the future. I was at a McDonald's yesterday, and there was a DeLorean parked outside with the flux capacitor sitting in the back and a hoverboard and God knows what else. And so I looked at it, and I was talking to a friend last night, and he says, Did you know that Nike are bringing out a pair of the shoes that Marty McFly wore in, I think it was the second episode, that automatically lace themselves?
Really?
Yeah. So over at nicekicks.com, there's video and pictures of these shoes.
That is an ugly looking shoe.
It is a bad ugly looking shoe. Isn't
yeah,
it?
It looks like a ski. It kind of looks like a ski boot. Is that the?
Yeah.
I can't.
Think so.
I can't see anybody buying these.
That is pretty ugly.
Oh, I don't know. I reckon that the 80s are about to make a comeback. So that's why I kept the wardrobe from then. And I reckon that shoe. Yeah.
That looks like a shoe a robot would wear.
Yeah.
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 They're not the best looking thing, are they?
Yeah, no, they're not great looking.
Now, the Nike Zoom Hyperfuse at the very bottom of that page looks pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, shoes have just gotten – we talk a little bit about this on the Fitness Tech podcast from time to time, but the technology that goes into shoes today, especially running shoes, is pretty amazing. I mean, my running shoe has probably 4 or 5 different kinds of foam in it, and at least that's what they say. It could just be crap, you know. But so at $100, it better not be crap. I got that to say. Well, these are kind of ugly, Andrew. I'll admit they're not. They are not great. What else?
I mean, if you were a throwback to the '80s and you're a Back to the Future diehard fan,
you'd have to be. But nobody else should wear those shoes. I'm just saying.
Oh hell no! Hell no! Absolutely.
they're kind of ugly. All right. What else we got? Google Plus, a Windows 7 widget.
Yeah, so the sidebar thingy that some people use on Windows 7, there's a guy out at, I don't know how to pronounce it, Kalaman Software, who's written a Windows 7 desktop gadget. So rather than having to open a browser, you can have it sitting in the sidebar, which looks kind of cool. Don't know personally if I want that much traffic on my browser, but on my desktop. Yeah, it looks pretty functional. I had a brief play with it, and it's pretty much like the Android client for Google Plus on your desktop. So,
do you use many widgets for Windows 7 or gadgets? Gadgets is what they're called, right?
I've got one gadget, but it's not an official one. I run that HTC Home that we spoke about 15 shows ago, which gives me like the HTC clock on my desktop. That's the only thing I run.
Okay, Christian, do you run any gadgets? I mean, this seems to be the old desktop gadget thing seems to be something that never really caught on.
Yeah, I'm still using Rain Meter, and I got my RSS feed gadget on the Windows sidebar, and my weather, and my calendar, and my clock that I never look at anyways. It's really pretty.
Yeah. Rich, do you use any gadgets on Windows 7?
Yeah, just one. The CPU and memory.
Oh,
gadget,
and that's the standard one.
Yep,
it comes with Windows 7. Yep. Yes. Yeah, I don't run any, and I don't know Google from a Google Plus standpoint. No, just open Chrome and look at it. Do you guys find yourself? Yeah. Well, Christian, did you get your Google Plus thing worked out?
They're still in field trials. I can't change it.
All right, so
still closed down.
So Christian's
is that
out.
The official one?
Rich, are you using Google Plus much?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, I don't use it as much as maybe like Facebook. I check Facebook probably a lot more. But if I want to look and see what my tech buddies are doing, yeah.
Yeah, if it wasn't so, I got to quit following Trey Radcliffe because that guy, him and Scobel are every third post. Yeah. Yeah, they're ridiculous. So it just kind of fills up the tech media folks have definitely taken over. I knew I would get Mike with that one.
Damn photographers.
they've totally taken over Google Plus, I think. So if you're wondering if you're not using Google Plus or you haven't gone onto it yet and you're not, you know, if you want to follow tech people, I think Google Plus right now is really good for that. I still don't think most people are over there and are using it. We've been using it on the weekends for Rich's random podcast generator, which seems to work okay until I found out that it wants to control the microphone and automatically adjust that without telling me.
No, that's funny. I didn't even notice that, really. I noticed that some of the spots were a little hot, but I just I grabbed the compression utility out of Audacity, and I ran that, and it looked nice and smooth after that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, just one of those things. I guess if you'd only notice if you were recording a podcast, and nobody but me does that. I've also noticed that folks are moving that kind of their blogs to Google Plus. They're not really, I mean, they've stopped blogging and they're blogging on Google Plus. For me, you know, when I blog, there's a little bit of art in what the blog post looks like to me. I know that sounds maybe kind of weird, but I like looking at the post on the page, and Google Plus just ruins that. I mean, it's just kind of out there at that point. And I don't know. I've been a little skeptical of it, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's sort of developed into something that most of us didn't think it was going to be. I know from my perspective, Google Plus is it's almost the new Twitter to me, and the traffic on it is just ridiculously high. The traffic's ridiculously high.
On Twitter or on Google Plus?
Yeah, Google Plus.
Yeah, Rich, go ahead.
Yeah, no, how many are you following? A lot of people? You must be.
Me?
No, Andrew. Yeah, you said it was really high on Google Plus?
Yeah, let me just jump in. So in my circles.
Well, while he's doing it, I'll just tell you, I don't follow that many people, so that's probably the difference right there.
I've got 73 people in all my circles, all told. Okay. 22 of them are photographers, and most of them are people like, Scoble's one. Jim Goldstein, Mike Howard's another one, Thomas Hawke, Trey Radcliffe, Sean Duffy,
what?
People like that. And those guys are
actually, I don't follow anybody.
Yeah.
See, I don't actually, now that I'm hearing what you're saying, I don't follow anybody. I mean, I have friends, but that's it.
Yeah, just your friends.
So, I'm not following somebody just to see what they got to say, you know. So. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been interesting, and I think I've said this before, but Twitter has kind of defaulted to this advertising. Really, all Twitter is are advertising tweets now. Very few people are tweeting about what they're doing anymore, and it's just become a link. It's become a link stream. You know, I use it when I'm going to start the show. I use it when we need to announce something, but I've stopped pretty much communicating through Twitter. And moved from Twitter to Google Plus for some of that. But Mike mentioned in chat that Facebook is probably still a better it's a better forum alternative. So I don't like the UI around Google Plus. It's still kind of big and messy, and it's hard to follow threads. Facebook is a lot easier for that. And so it's kind of – the other thing that bothers me is, so like, I'm looking at Google Plus right now, and Veronica Belmont posts this kind of lame cat picture and it, like 10 minutes ago, and there's already 23 comments. And you kind of go – yeah. You kind of go, really?
But it's Veronica Belmont.
I know, but the amount of butt kissing that goes on Google Plus right now, just – I'm gonna rage. It's coming out. I'm raging. Just drives me nuts. It's crazy how much these tech guys out there are just, God, the people are just, and I'm sorry, but it's just, God, it's over the top. The amount of, you know, folks are trying to jump on or at least jump behind some of these big names like Scoble. And I don't know if they're trying to get noticed or if they're trying to, you know, I don't know what. You know, I don't know if they're trying to set up photographer lists. Or, sorry, Mike. It's just – it's insane what goes on out there. And so I don't know. I've kind of moved away from Google Plus, following it for the most part. Every once in a while I'll get a notification in there that I'll go take a peek at. But I'm still really doing Facebook most of the time.
Yeah. Yep, I am too. I sort of tend to forget about Google Plus. And the size of the Android application put me off it in a large way, because I think it took about 12 mega memory off my phone.
Oh.
And with the HTC Desire, that's a lot of memory to lose.
Okay. Yeah, I've got that installed on my phone as well. I have to check that.
Hmm.
All right. Christian, you're still all Facebook, right?
Yeah.
With your cryptic posts.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, my cryptic posts.
Cryptic posts.
I get accused of that more and more often, so I'm trying to dumb them down.
I understand. I don't know what people are talking about. I saw your post the other day, and I'm like, I know exactly what Christian is talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
Your friends don't. You must be trying to be cryptic.
Guess so.
Nice job. All right, Andrew, what else do you got?
Yeah, the last one was a this was something I found through necessity more than desire. At home, I've got two PCs, so when I'm at home with the laptop, so I've got my laptop, I've got a monitor to, actually, I'll show it on the camera. Here we go. For the people in chat. So I've got my laptop, and then I've got my monitor, and then I've got another monitor. So everything at the moment, as you see it, is connected to the laptop. So I've also got a PC under the desk, which connects to these two monitors. And one of the problems that I have is that when I've got the laptop sitting on the desk, I have to go across the laptop to use the PC keyboard. So what I was thinking was, okay, an application to be able to drive the PC under the desk on its monitors as well and only use the laptop keyboard and mouse. So I found a couple of things. I found one called Synergy, which installs a service that's a bit of a mess to get running, and it works reasonably well. And I was talking to a couple of guys at work, and they were saying, "Oh yeah, we went off Synergy because it was a bit cumbersome and it doesn't translate between work and home and that very well." And I found this other one called Input Director, and Input Director is a really cool little utility. And so on my laptop, I run a piece of software they call the Master, and then on the desktop at home and the desktop at work, I run a slave component. And pretty much what happens is that when I move the mouse across from the let's see if I can get it to if I can show it working here. So if I move the mouse across from the laptop, so that mouse that's now just opened up a window on that monitor is done using the mouse on my laptop. Hmm. And I can then spin the mouse back across and work on the laptop screen.
Even though like it's that. Okay. Wow.
Even though it's only attached to the laptop.
Yeah. Huh.
So out of pure necessity found this utility, I reckon it's pretty cool because it's saving me a hell of a lot of grief.
What do you use to share the monitors from the PC to the laptop? What's that plugged into?
Okay, so the laptop itself's plugged into a port replicator.
Okay.
Like that guy there.
Right.
And in the back of that, I've got a DVI connection to one monitor. And then I've got a USB display link adapter to connect to the other one. So the third monitor's running on a USB video card.
Oh, okay.
And then the PC under the desk has got a dual pigtailed video card.
So how do you switch between from the laptop to the PC?
On the monitor. I've got buttons on the monitors.
Okay.
Just change the input.
All right. All right, so it's a multi. Those are multi-input monitors.
Yep.
Ah, very cool.
And is that freeware?
And it's free. The price is 100% correct.
Called Input Director out at inputdirector.com.
Sure. That's it.
Ah, that's kind of cool. I have to give that. That looks really useful.
And it works on Windows 2003, 2008. It works with Home Server 2011 and version 1. I don't think it's got a version for Linux, but you know, we're all Windows guys anyway, so
right, for the most part.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're coming right off the laptop and the screens that are on are coming off the desktop and it just
yep.
that mouse goes right across.
It just seamlessly translates across. That's
very nice. Do you think that would work across PC and Mac? Does it have a Mac client for it?
Doesn't. The other one that I was talking about, Synergy, it works on from PC to Mac and PC to Linux. But
so Windows on.
It's a bitch to configure the other one.
Okay. This one set up, how many minutes do you think it took you to get it set up and running?
About three.
Okay. So pretty simple. Average guy. Average guy.
Absolutely. Okay. 10 out of 10 for an average guy. The instructions are real easy on the website. You go click, 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 and it's done.
I'll have to try that because I got a scenario where that would be real handy to have those running on the screen where I could flip in between them on the screen rather than remote desktop into them, but then be able to control it all from a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, and for people who are running like three or four monitors, you can arrange your monitors as if, say, if you've got your four monitors arranged in a grid, you can work it so that it knows where your monitors are, like in a multi-monitor setup as well. So if you, say, have your two servers under the desk on your two top monitors, you can traverse the mouse around the screen layout as well.
Yeah. Well, you imagine both text input and the mouse input are not very intensive from a processing standpoint. So I imagine it's across the network just keeping track of those. And then it's at its location on there. It knows the size, and so it just knows where to move the mouse once you go across.
Yeah, correct.
That's pretty cool. All right, I have to go out and check that out. Very nice. I have to give that a try. I'm getting ready to do some reconfiguration down here. I got to move some PCs around, and so maybe the time to give that a try would be then.
Is that why I can't see your HP box on your feed anymore?
Yes, because I moved it over there. It's down there. But you can see Drobo. Okay, Christian, you are up. You know what, Christian? We went the whole summer. I'm a little disappointed. Whole summer, no Christian's Corner music.
I know.
And now school starts tomorrow. What are we going to do?
I'm going to have to get my jazz band to do something.
Ooh. That would be dynamite. All right, Christian's Corner.
All right. So, where should we start? Let's go with the deal of the week, something outside of my normal computer craziness. The E3 generation spark plugs. We just put all new ones in.
You're serious? I thought that was some kind of tech gadget, and I clicked on the link, and it's a spark plug.
Yep, dead serious.
Nice.
It's a new generation technology of spark plug for the engine. And after putting all eight new ones in our full-size Z71 Suburban, we have gotten up to 22 miles per gallon from 18 on the highway, which that truck in itself is huge. So the fact that it's getting 22 on the highway is pretty incredible.
That's nice.
So it was pretty neat because that's like 4 to 5 miles per gallon gained. Just because
that is awesome. Work. So, how much do these things cost?
Funky looking spark plug, too.
That's a good question, actually. I don't think it was. Let's check. It's the deal of the week because tech wise, it's just awesome. So, let's go. Let's do some price checking.
Well, that's all right. I'll do some price checking if you want to keep going.
Oh, you're going to be useful? I'm just kidding. All right.
Oh, man. Rich, you going to take that?
Mm hmm.
Okay.
That's Christian. What can you say? He's probably right, you know?
Just kidding. All right. So, well, we get a price on that. That was pretty neat. So, and that was outside of the digital aspect.
I like it. That's still home tech, though, right?
Yeah,
that's
definitely home tech.
Way to think outside the box. Yeah.
Definitely something you could say, take it to Pep Boys and get it done. So, all right. Moving on to speed tip of the week. This is pretty cool. The theme being get stylish or go home. There's a guy who developed a Windows 8 panel like startup homepage screen that is similar to the new Windows 8 panel tiles you're going to see in the upcoming operating system. So basically, it's a great homepage that you can customize all the links on and have tile links as your homepage. And then you can, it uses jQuery, so everything's really fluid and dynamic. So rather than, I used to keep all my home, I used to have like four pages that would open every time as my when I clicked the home button because I had several stuff I needed to keep open. So now I just switched it to the new Windows 8 tile interface, and I have all my tiles right here, and I can search right from it, and it's in that same Windows 8 looking interface. And then I can just use the scroll on my mouse, and it automatically switches to a new panel. So it's pretty neat.
Christian, talk a little bit about jQuery. I've heard that. I don't know exactly what it is, but what is jQuery?
jQuery is just a JavaScript library, and normally the jQuery is commonly used for graphics and controls and kind of Web 2.0 type websites. It's a pretty large compilation of JavaScript functions, and it's actually considered a developer SDK and library, so it's incorporated in a lot of open source applications. So,
okay, good enough. I'm gonna highlight on the stream. If you look, this is what that page looks like that Christian's talking about. And so you can see the tile-like effect that – oops, I should have done that. You can't scroll. That screen doesn't move when you scroll the screen. But you can kind of see the tile-like effect of the applications that you have access to there.
All right, we'll and when you actually have it open, it's actually pretty cool because there's a configuration menu, so you can kind of edit your tiles and move them around and add and remove stuff. So
is this available now? I mean, this is something that's working right now?
Yeah, I just put it on today. So it's actually just all HTML JavaScript, which is why it's really cool.
Yeah. Huh. So very cool.
You can just copy it to your hard drive and do a local host or just directly point to the file.
Nice stuff. Rich, any word on the spark plugs?
$5.99 a piece, I believe.
So that's not
bad. No, it's not bad.
That's cheap for a spark plug.
So if you're paying
$35 a plug for my car.
$35 a piece?
Yep.
Wow.
Huh. Yeah, it runs Japanese plug and NGK Iridium.
So
seems like any more of those plugs are rated for like ever. I mean, I can't, you know, I don't know. Maybe you do it. Most cars, at least here in the U.S., they recommend a tune-up every 100,000 at this point, right? Or am I just waiting too long?
100,000 miles?
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh. Well, if you figure 8 spark plugs at 6 apiece, that's $48. And if you figure 5 miles a gallon saved per hour traveled, so you're going to do... What's gas per gallon is about $4 a gallon, and you're probably going to go through a gallon every, if it's 22 miles to the gallon, 18 miles to the gallon, so you're going to get 18, 5, 1, 2, 3. You're going to save about...
It's worth it.
It's definitely worth
it.
Yeah,
you didn't get that kind of mileage.
You're going to save about, let's see, if it's 18 miles a gallon and you're getting plus 5, so you're going to, it's going to be like a... 13 divided by 18. No, 5 divided by 18.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal. Did your dad find those? Is that his deal of the week?
Wait.
He's trying to.
There we go. It's a 27% increase in price.
Gary comes in and says, you can't do that in your head, Christian. Oh, man. I tell you what. No slack there at the Johnson household,
no,
is there?
Never.
I like it.
So... So updates from the Christian's desk. My crazy story of the week is I'm trying to design a security system for a new nonprofit organization out here, and it's a baseball field complex for handicapped children, and it's a special rubberized field. So it's a $500,000 project, and there's a lot of equipment out there that they want to make sure it doesn't get tampered with. So they're looking to have 4 HD infrared cameras set up on the pavilion to monitor the place, but they can't get a cable connection out there because the way the electric was laid, it was done underground, and it's against town regulation to run the coax along the same line as the electrical. So, where was I?
Tell them you're in the middle of a show.
Yeah, I am in the middle of a show. So
he's not taking that.
Yeah. So we had to figure out how to get internet to the site without being able to use cable, because the only cable provider that's on, it's actually on an island technically, and the only cable provider they have is Time Warner. So Fios was not being contracted at all. They don't even have a license on the island, and they don't want to have one on the island. So and cable is out of the option anyway. So the two options I looked into was satellite and broadband. Now, with satellite, you're going to get a maximum of 1 megabyte down and like maybe half a megabyte up for $100 a month, which is ridiculous. And that's the fastest you can get for any kind of satellite connection. So that wasn't really going to work. And then I thought, well, maybe they have 3G or 4G service in the area, maybe get a broadband connection. But there's only 3G, and you get like a 10 gigabyte cap, and then you're done. So imagine streaming video, you're going to be done in seconds with that cap, and then you're going over the limit. So the only solution we've come up so far is there's a library owned by the town about total of 300-400 feet away from the baseball field that does have cable and does have the internet connection. So there's a maintenance building in between the baseball field and the libraries. So we're going to set up Netgear wireless repeaters and put some pretty high band antenna running off them, and then run it to the maintenance shaft, and then run that to the pavilion. So we're going to be covering about 200 feet in each on each side. And then I'm going to have to put a high-powered wireless card into the computer that's going to run the security system.
So where's the computer going to go?
It's going to be on a mount, a locked mount in like a secure box in the pavilion.
Covered in
what? Oh yeah, it's an actual building.
Yeah. Oh okay.
Yeah.
What kind of PC are you going to use?
That's a great question. I'm probably going to build. Because I need to, well, at least build out the storage, because they're probably going to need about 4 terabytes of storage for the kind of, they're looking to have about like 2 weeks of viewing the security feedback in 1080p quality. So,
do you need a lot of juice to do that? I mean, from a processing standpoint, does that thing have to be fairly powerful to process all that video?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to need a quad core. The video controller doesn't really matter because you're not going to be viewing the video off that computer. It's going to be streaming, so... really just a strong CPU and storage.
Powerful Wi-Fi across a repeater.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult.
That is going to be interesting. Yeah, keep us posted on that.
What's the distance for Wi-Fi?
What's the distance?
Yeah.
We're looking to cover a 400 feet distance with a maintenance building like in between that 400 feet distance. So it's about 200 and 200 feet we have to cover. And I measured just using my laptop, which doesn't have a very powerful wireless card. And I measured with one of the Netgear routers we're thinking of using. And I got like 170 feet and I was able to keep the connection. So
okay. I was going to say the other option, you could always go microwave. We had a business in New Zealand where we had a microwave link that went 14 kilometers across a bay. The only problem we had with that was salt build up on the antennas, and had to be cleaned every 6 months.
Interesting.
What's pretty expensive, Andrew, for microwave?
The hardware itself was worth about $8,000.
Yeah, so fairly expensive.
Depends. I mean, this business was Dow Chemicals, so money wasn't an object for them. But this was we were running a 300 meg link with 18 users worth of voice data and research traffic going across it.
Okay, so fairly robust. Christian, what's your budget for this?
I'm thinking anywhere. They're probably going to give me anywhere from $3,000 to $8,000, probably.
Oh, so that's fairly doable.
Yeah.
Cameras are what kind of cameras are you thinking?
I'm just looking for like $200 piece cameras, 1080p.
Okay. You're gonna do all the work. You're gonna mount all that stuff and wire it yourself.
No, I'm gonna have the construction guys mount the camera and do the wiring, and then I'm just gonna build the computer.
Nice.
I'm not gonna have enough trouble trying to figure out how the repeaters are gonna behave. So.
Yeah. You'll have a little bit of work there, a little bit of interference. That'll be fun. We had a solution like that at our church where they actually bought this little a satellite. It's mini. Looked like a mini antenna, satellite antenna, right? And they collected the internet came in through cable, and then they shot that over or directed it towards a house that was probably, I don't know, three or four houses away, five houses away, and got fairly good wireless over there at the other house. So it's kind of interesting. They had taken it apart. By the time we started going there, they had taken it apart and weren't using it anymore, but they had been doing it at one point in time. So. Very cool. No, any 3G in the area?
3G, they do have 3G, but I mean, once you're done with your 5 gigabyte limit, I mean, you're done. So,
no Sprint there where you could do unlimited.
Sprint won't do unlimited for none of the broadband. It's unlimited if it's like on your phone, but if you're trying to get a broadband for like internet.
Buy a phone, dial it. No,
I know, right?
Leave a phone on up there.
The wireless chip in the phone would burn out. But even at an ideal 3G speed, you're not getting
you're right.
Speed to do
you're
video.
Right. It's not for all that video. It's not fast enough. So
definitely not.
All right. Good enough. What else? Anything else from Christian's
Corner?
That's
about it.
All right. Well, Christian, you know, we're sad that your summer is over, but
yeah, so am I. Yeah.
I know. Boy, that went fast.
It did. Really
How many
did.
Projects did you do this summer?
Oh, geez. I probably was in about 5 hardcore tech projects this summer that took a lot of my time. So.
Yeah. That keeps you off the streets, right?
Yeah.
From the streets of Buffalo.
Definitely, yeah.
Comes Christian. All right. Thanks, Christian.
Not a problem.
Rich, you got anything for us tonight?
Yes, I do.
What do you got?
No, I don't. I am reading a book by Tim Wu, guy who coined the term net neutrality. It's called A Master Link.
Yeah.
And this guy is pretty good. The narrator, actually I'm listening to it. It's an Audible book. But I do recommend it to read it. The guy who's narrating it, it was a little dry at first. Basically what Tim is talking about, he goes through the cycle of information industries rising and consolidating, monopolizing, capturing governments, forcing out competitors, and you know how that you know, and he talks a lot about AT&T, and you know, it's pretty interesting. This starts off back in the 1890s, late 1800s, and they talk about Bell way back then and how the government basically set them up. You know, the government wanted them to succeed. They loved the monopoly. Back in those days, and not that many decades ago, the word monopoly was like, man, yeah, that's great. You know, we love that, you know. But over the years, these guys would do everything they could to stifle anybody from innovating around their product or doing any kind of innovation that might take away from their product. There was a kind of a interesting tie-in to a movie called Brazil. Not The Boys from Brazil, but Brazil, a dystopian type of movie. And there was a character in there called Harry Tuttle, and he'd show up, and he was like, you know, Mr. Gadget guy. He could fix things, and he'd get things done, and he was sort of like the leader of the revolution. Well, Harry Tuttle is a name taken from he was the guy who developed this product, and it's got a funny name. It's called Hushaphone. And what that thing did was it was like putting a cup around the receiver. So that when you were having a conversation, I wouldn't be able to hear you. You know, hear the conversation. I'd be able to hear you, but I wouldn't hear what's on the other side. So it was just something, you know, some plastic thing, you know, shaped like a cup, sort of, and it mounted to the phone. Well, AT&T basically tied him up in court, you know, for years, saying, well, you know, you can't do this. You can't touch our phones, you know, you'll mess up our lines. I mean, they were throwing out all kinds of wild accusations. You know, somebody could fall off the pole because they'd send a jolt of electricity down the lines. You know, maybe some power surge. Total BS stuff that they were doing. But they tied this guy up in court, and I guess the FCC was ruling on this. And after about 5 years, they ruled and said, you know, yep, sorry, Tuttle, you lose. So he appealed. And actually, he won. And in the ruling that came down, the wording of the ruling kind of opened, gave a little crack in the armor of AT&T and allowed innovators to step in and, you know, kind of led to the eventual breakup and of the monopoly, the stranglehold that they had over the whole telephone industry. So it's a fascinating book. I'm about maybe 3/4 of the way through, but it's a highly recommended read.
Yeah, you know, there's some really good tech books coming out, especially the ones that go back and look at the history of tech. The I got to listen to Steve Wozniak speak about 5 years ago in a conference here in Omaha, and he kind of went through. I don't know if it's what he was supposed to do, but he kind of went through his life history. I mean, he kind of started when he was born and. An hour and 45 minutes later, he was in high school. And I don't think he, you know, I think, I don't, he had no concept of time at that point. But he talked a little bit about his phone freaking days when he was younger, and you know they created these boxes that would
blue box.
Yeah, that would.
And he created a digital blue box, which uh-huh. blew people's minds.
Right.
I just got done reading I Was.
Okay.
And he talks about one time he walked up to these guys in the car and says, "Hey, we got this box. You can make phone calls for free." And then about maybe less than a minute later, some guy was sticking a gun in his face saying, "We'll take that box."
Yeah. It would mimic the clicks and the clacks, right? That was how PBX Exchange works, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what it was. Yeah. The clicks of, you know, you could click the receiver.
Right.
Like 9 times to get into a certain state with a phone system where you could maybe whistle into it. I mean, you might have heard of this guy called Captain Crunch.
Right.
And he's called Captain Crunch because there was a whistle included with Captain Crunch way back in the day that produced a signal at 2600 hertz. And that signal was a signal that the phone company used to activate a certain circuitry. You know, it was like once you hit that circuitry, now you're making free phone calls. I think that was what the deal was. So that IWAS story, he's quite a character.
He really is.
You listen to him talk, and he's like, you think he's so full of himself, but I mean, he might be, you know, but.
Well, the dude has done some things.
He's done some things. Now, look, you know, when they talk about Steve Jobs is, he's one kind of cat. And IWAS is totally, he was a guy that didn't really want to have anything to do with upper management. He wanted to develop. He wanted to build things. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he built the Apple and the Apple, Apple One and Apple Two. He built that, not Steve. He soldered it all together. He designed it and built it himself.
Right.
So it's pretty fascinating, you know. Yeah. But he wasn't that interested in doing the whole corporate guy thing.
No, he never was a very good corporate guy. You know, I grew up
but a smart guy
just down the street from those guys, right? They were in Cupertino. I grew up in San Jose, and so as a young kid, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth grade, of course. By that time, those guys were just kind of up and coming. They were already kind of legends, but they were up and coming Silicon Valley insider guys that you know would capture the front page of the San Jose Mercury News from time to time. And of course, Apple founded right out of Cupertino there. So it was as a kid, I was just I was enamored by what they were doing, and had heard about this phone freaking thing that he had done, but didn't really understand the depth at which he was hacking through the phone system to make these calls. And, ironically, I use that word in the wrong way, but in the 80s, when I was in the military and I was stationed overseas in Germany, a phone call would cost me $1 a minute, right, to come back to the United States.
And $1 a minute. Pretty quick when you're talking to your loved ones who you're going to speak for at least a half an hour, maybe an hour.
Yeah.
Wow. How many times a month are you going to do that?
It was tough.
Not too many.
And I think about here, it's a little nostalgia. Christian, you'll have no idea what this any of this stuff is because you never lived through this. But, you know, a phone was $1 a minute and there was no internet. But imagine that. Christian, can you imagine a world without internet?
I can't, but I know it was there.
So no email, right? And snail mail would take, 2 weeks or 10 days. This
especially
was like 1987. This was 1987, and not all that long ago. And so, Rich, as you talk about, I mean, the phone companies held a stranglehold on innovation for such a long time. And the internet, the internet broke that. Al Gore and his internet broke that. And really now, I don't know if it's any better or any worse. I don't want to get
into it. He talks about cycles. Tim Wu talks about the cycles of like the rise and the fall. And it looks like it's back on the upswing where, you see in AT&T, they want to merge with T-Mobile.
Right.
They want more coverage. They want more lines.
No, you're right.
It's slowly going back to that, they're smart guys, when they got rulings that didn't work their way, when they broke up the monopoly, they didn't roll over and start whining about it. They started thinking about how are we going to get back on top, And so you, in one sense, you admire that. On the other, it's like, ah, man, You know, the last time we broke you up, all kinds of innovation broke loose. So
it did. It did.
What are you going to stifle now?
And now they're coming back together. You know, Microsoft was headed that way, and when they broke, and they didn't really break them, but they broke Microsoft's spirit. I mean, Microsoft has never been the same company since the antitrust hearings went on. They broke that down. It'll be interesting to see what happens to Google. Certainly, they are headed in that same direction, and I could could be the evil empire.
How many lobbyists do you think they have in Washington?
Yeah, but how many lobbyists do you think were in Washington for Microsoft? I mean,
But I mean, just, you know, thinking about Google, you know, how big they are, you know, they probably got a few.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's, and I think.
Not saying anything. I'm just saying. Just saying.
I think it's amazing. And I'll be honest, I still every day think, man, this is so cool. Here, the four of us. You know, you and Christian are on the East Coast. Andrew's in Melbourne. I'm here in the Midwest, and we're doing this one for free for the most part,
right?
And it's in video. I mean, Andrew, as a kid, did you not sometimes think about a video phone and how cool that would be?
Well, I don't know. We didn't even have a video camera when I was a kid, so to me, to go next door and play with their video camera was pretty special for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I remember building my first 300 baud modem myself because I couldn't afford to buy one. Mm. So, you know, you talk about the internet, you know, not existing, you know, I built my own.
Wow, that's awesome.
Printed the circuit board myself and bought all the components and put it together because I couldn't afford the $100 or $150 or whatever it was to buy the hardware itself.
Wow.
And what did it cost you to do that? That is completely awesome, man. What did
about
that cost
80, 90
you?
Bucks. 80 or 90 bucks, but that was still a lot of money as well.
Yeah, right, yeah. But still you did it yourself.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and cool. A lot of the guys I work with did the same.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Yep.
Well, it's I remember as a kid thinking, and sorry, Christian, that we're leaving you out of this conversation. It's like the old timers reminiscing. Yep. Well, I remember. I remember thinking, God, when this stuff goes video, it's just beginning to be the greatest. And it is pretty cool. I mean, we get to do this, and we pay a little bit for it. But if you're using Google Plus today, of course, that's free. Over there. But Rich, there definitely is cycles. I think we are back in the upswing of consolidation. So it's consolidation, breakup, innovation, consolidation, breakup, right? That's the cycle?
It seems to be,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That is the cycle.
Yeah, within the industries. And so I think we're in that consolidation mode and we're seeing less innovation in cycles, particularly in that area. So
Yeah. There's another book I'm going to read. By Tim Wu, called Who Controls the Internet. So I can't wait to get to that and see what he's got to say along those lines. That's
nice.
Going to be interesting.
Well, when you're on, Rich, maybe we should do a book club segment or something. You know? Remember. Get off my lawn. All right, gents. Anything else you guys want to chat about? We're kind of at our we're kind of at that spot where we can close this up or take one more thing. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Rich is good. Andrew, anything?
No, I think it's good. I had a bit of a panic moment before it started hailing, and there's been tiles off and on the roof for the last hour or so I had a minor heart attack thinking that we may have had a gaping hole on the roof with hail and sleet and God knows what else is coming out of the sky heading into the roof. So, looking like being a good weekend.
Yeah. And the guy that's installing the panels right now, he's okay?
Oh, he's wet. He's wet.
Oh.
No, it's small hail. It's sort of like, you know, sub-P sized. So not like the big aggregate stuff you guys got the other week.
We just got creamed. We just got
It's like gravel coming out of the sky when it's like that, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, when I opened up, you've never seen that before?
No, I've never seen anything. I've never seen hail that big. I mean, I hear you guys, people talking about hail the size of a golf ball. And it's like, where the heck do you guys live? I've never seen that, but I know it happens. You get that?
Yeah, we get it.
We had a hailstorm 18 months, 2 years ago. We happened to be out of town, so our cars were okay, but there were hailstones about the size of oranges. and they were coming out of the sky with enough force that they're going through tiled roofs, corrugated iron roofs, windscreens of cars.
Yeah.
So that stuff that destroys a lot of property.
Oh, cars, it's just horrific.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's about $800 million worth of damage across Melbourne, I think, at the time.
Well, think about this. We had a couple weeks ago, we had a storm come through with baseball-size hail, and it came through our airport area. So at the Omaha airport, there were 5 planes on the ground that were damaged. A piece of hail hit the aircraft, bounced off, and hit a pilot in the eye, and I think broke his eye socket. It hit him so hard. And then think about all the rental cars, and then all the, you know, we have these park and rides. You know, you can park and, you know, they bring in the airport on a shuttle. And those things have 300, 400, 500, 600, I have no idea, cars stacked. And it's all outside, and we don't, you know, they're not covered. And so there were just, it was just pummeled. That happened on a Thursday. The next Sunday, we got a hailstorm here. And just a point of seriousness here, you do not want to be caught outside in one of those hailstorms. That when I opened the garage door and a piece of hail came ricocheting off my car and into my garage, and I'm like, I'm shutting the garage door. Screw the cars, you know. And when that stuff hits the ground, it smacks so hard. I mean, it is. Yeah, you don't want to be outside. I've seen pictures of folks and they're just welted everywhere.
Yeah,
it's dangerous. So. We get that. We've had some really hot and then cold moments. And then, of course, that's when hail develops really well and it gets caught in that draft up and down. And it's been a bad year for it. So lots of damage here. Christian, go ahead, Rich.
No, I was just going to ask you if that's typical. I mean, did you used to have hail like that as a in your youth?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's nothing.
It's
real. It's not global warming. Al Gore doesn't
have
that.
No, it's not. Right. Hi, Michelle. It's not. It's not I don't think so, but this is the first time I've seen it in here in Bellevue, but Omaha usually gets one good hailstorm a year and that was it. So what's interesting is if when you get baseball size hail and you look at it, it's really just made up of a whole bunch of little tiny, you know, the cores are really small and white, and then they get a little bit bigger, and then they all start sticking together, and then they all start sticking together. So it's kind of like I don't know. It's just a bunch of these little hailstones jammed together, frozen together. And you wouldn't think it would be that cold at the top of a cloud, but it's freezing up there. So, all right, gents. Well, if that's it, appreciate you guys coming out tonight. And we'll do it all again next week. Rich, we got you scheduled for October 20th, at least at this point, show 49. And that will do it here for show 43. I'll remind folks again that we are moving our RSS feeds. That's hard to say that way. We're going to move the RSS feeds that we have, and we will be moving those here at the end of the month. So if you get this through iTunes or some kind of podcatcher or even the Zune, and somebody said in chat it works in Zune now. You can find it in Zune. Maybe whoever said
Vinyl
that.
Tim said it was in Zune.
Does that mean you can find it in the Zune marketplace or whatever they call it? Is it there? I never did anything there. I guess I submitted it twice and they never did anything, but maybe they woke up and got my entry submitted. I don't know. I'll have to go check it out. So, oh, no. Tim copied the RSS feed. So if you have the Zune player and you want to do it, just go out to the site, copy the RSS link and paste it in. On October 1st, the Podomatic RSS feeds will no longer work and you'll want to grab the ones off the site. So do that today. TheAverageGuy.tv, pick up that RSS feed, paste it in or use the iTunes link and that will get over to you. We're back here next Thursday, 7 p.m. Central, and we'll do it all again. It looks like Gary Johnson, which is Christian's dad, is going to be the guest. Now, Christian, last time we did this, you weren't here, and he did a superb job. I'm a little scared when the two of you podcast together.
Oh, well.
It's like crossing streams.
It is.
Don't cross the streams, Ray.
If you think of it like this, Gary is not a guest. He is a regular because in some way, shape, or form, he always ends up on the feed.
He does end up on every podcast. He comes in his pants. Thank goodness. That's great. So
I just think Christian's not looking forward to recording with a webcam stuck in his pocket again.
Did he get his? I know he always tries to use that Bluetooth headset. We're gonna ditch that thing, right? That hasn't worked too.
No, he got it
shows.
Working actually.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. Good enough.
Well, I mean, I know you're doubting me, but actually, it hasn't working. So.
All right. Well, we'll test it here next week. And guys, again, thanks for coming out. We'll see you next Thursday. Have a great night, and we'll see you back next week.
Wait, probably.
Rich, you're next. Real quick, before I forget, how about October 20th for your next appearance here on the Home Tech Podcast?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You want me to think about it for a second? Yeah.
Hey, that's show 49.
All right. No, can I take the next one?
Chris Lux. Chris Lux.
Oh,
has
come on, Lux.
He already booked it.
Dr. Lux, yeah, he booked himself in, did he?
Dr. Lux books himself for 50 because he's kind of a big deal.
He is kind of a big deal, isn't he?
Say that again, Andrew.
Can you hear that grinding in the back, the screwing in the background with the hammer drill?
Yes.
I'll mute then.
That's awesome.
Otherwise, people will think it's me lifting a cheek.
Did you say, can you hear
Yes, that? He did. That's so funny. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. All right, let's get started before I regret this podcast.
Yeah, I hope you
I told
that.
You, I always warned you at some point in time I'd take it down the dark side.
I know.